Well, sir, Mr. Victor Gook has just this moment arrived home from the office as we join him at the small house halfway up on the next block now. It's a few minutes past 4 o'clock, and Mr. Gook is in the living room, apparently disappointed at finding no one about. His face brightens now, however, as a familiar voice upstairs is heard. Listen.
That you, Gook?
I heard you home.
I had the sensation another human being was close by. I wasn't conscious of any footsteps in particular, but the feeling crept over me enough.
What you doing?
Huh?
What you doing?
Washing my face and hands. I just got home from Tammy's vacant lot. We had a football scrimmage after school. I got pretty dirty.
Repair below stairs, please.
What?
Come on down.
Okay.
Where's your mother?
With Miss Stembottom.
They calling on somebody?
No, they're downtown shopping.
Yeah?
Mom said at the dinner table this noon she was going shopping.
Oh, that's right, she did.
What?
Yeah, she did. I remember now.
Why, George, did I get tackled a while ago? Hit the ground like a ton of bricks. My prescription coming to me like an express train. I thought I'd been knocked unconscious there for a second.
Isn't it time for her to be home?
What?
It's past 4 o'clock. Isn't it about time for your mother to get home?
Well, that all depends.
Depends on what?
900 million different things.
Well, you needn't bother enumerating them.
Okay.
No, but when do ladies generally quit shopping of an afternoon?
Well, that all depends.
Depends on what?
900 million different things.
Well, you needn't bother enumerating them.
Okay.
No, but when do ladies generally quit shopping of an afternoon?
Oh, well, that all depends.
Depends on what? 900 million different things. Don't bother enumerating them. Okay. No, but when do ladies generally quit shopping of an afternoon? That all depends. You see, Russell Henney, we are in a vicious circle. Try to answer Papa's questions intelligently now.
You must be worried about something.
I am worried about something. Do you suppose I could have Mom Page at Yamilton's?
She wouldn't be at Yamilton's this late. Yamilton is the first place ladies set for when they're shopping.
Well, where would she be this late?
Well, that all depends.
Oh, my.
She could be 20 different places.
Well, don't enumerate them.
She could be at Kleeberger's. She could be at Rogers. She could be at the 10-cent store.
Don't enumerate. Please, don't enumerate.
Hey, Gov, you act like a little...
I'd like to alter the conversational line now and take a new tack. It's past 4 o'clock. Mom's not home. Don't those circumstances argue either that Mom plans a late supper, a pickup supper, or no supper at all?
She told us her plans at the dinner table this noon. A pickup supper for tonight. Leftovers. You see, we still got all that meatloaf from yesterday and canned peaches and vegetables.
Well, can you glance in the icebox and in the pantry around and determine whether or not there's enough food for an extra person?
No, I can't.
Uncle Fletcher drops past every so often unexpected and has a meal with us. Couldn't we draw a conclusion from that to the effect that there's always enough food on hand to feed an extra person?
Yeah, sure, but... Mom never thinks of Uncle Fletcher as being a guest. He's just one of the family.
That's true.
What'd you do, Gov? Stick your neck out?
Exactly what I did. Stuck my neck out.
Invited somebody to supper, huh?
Invited somebody to supper.
Who'd you invite?
B.B. Ball.
Huh?
I invited B.B. Ball to supper. He'll be here at 5:15.
Well, I imagine it'll be all right, Gov. Of course, Mom's liable to be a little cross and upset at
first. I did it on the impulse of the moment, Russell. He visited me at the office this afternoon, see? He made a special trip to the plant to give me a present. I was touched, deeply affected, in fact. I wanted to do something nice for B.B. Ball. He'd done something nice for me, so I wanted to do something nice for him. B.B., I blurted, come eat supper at the house tonight.
Oh, I don't imagine Mom will be...
Russell, let me show you the present B.B. Ball brought to me at the office this afternoon.
Yeah, I'd like to see it.
I have it in my inside coat pocket here.
Bottle of stingyberry jam?
Beg pardon?
You make your present of a jar of stingyberry jam?
We aren't being facetious, are we, son?
Not at all. I just remembered B.B. Ball was the inventor of stingyberry jam.
This, Russell, is the present.
Piece of paper?
A song.
Song?
A melody.
I don't get
as
that.
As you perhaps know, Russell, B.B. Ball replaced Alf Musherton as the third chair cornetist in the sewage disposal workers' semi-classical silver cornet band.
Yeah, I knew that.
B.B. Ball is an accomplished musician, an artist, and as I learned this afternoon, a talented composer.
He composed the song and gave it to you?
More than that, Kester. He composed a song about me.
Yeah?
Let me enroll this manuscript here.
Okay.
I don't know as you're mature enough to grasp the implications involved, Russell, but it's a mighty pretty compliment when a composer composes a song about his friend.
Well, I think I grasped it okay.
Yeah, I was mighty darn touched, I can tell you.
Uh-huh.
And here's the melody.
Not printed, huh? Just pen and ink.
Well, naturally, it's not published yet. It was only written last night.
Uh-huh.
Written last night, B.B. Bohr tells me, between the hours of 8 and 12. Written by candlelight in his tiny room at the Bright Kentucky Hotel.
Mm.
With trains chugging and chuffing and screaming past his chamber window.
Mm.
Do you wonder I was touched?
Uh-uh.
Do you wonder I invited B.B. Bohr to supper?
Uh-uh.
Shall we inspect the song?
All right.
This is the title there at the top of the page.
The Victor Arguck Fontenelle.
The Victor Arguck Fontenelle.
Fontenelle?
A fontanelle is a spirited march, a sprightly gallop, perhaps even a gay dance like a polka or a gavotte. I'm not exactly certain about the exact meaning.
It's a soft place on a baby's head.
How's that?
A fontanelle is a soft spot on a baby's skull. Well, it is. We had that in grade school physiology. See, all tiny babies have soft places
on
their
head. You sound like you're serious, Russell, and I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt. However, if I thought for one second you were being humorous, I'm afraid I might become quite shocked.
Well, look it up in the dictionary.
You look it up in the dictionary.
All right, I will. I'll prove...
Take Papa's word for it, little man. A fontanelle is a spirited march, a sprightly gallop, or perhaps even a gay dance like a polka or a gavotte.
Well, I'll prove it to you that I'm right. I'll get the dictionary out of the bookcase.
Quit the comedy, George, and stick around. Don't you think Mama's anger might melt away when she learns B.B. Bohr composed a melody with Victor Arguck as his theme?
Mom will tell you a fontanelle's a soft spot on a baby's head.
We are worried a subject to death, aren't we, my boy? Let's just forget about soft spots on baby's heads.
Well, God, we had that in grade school physiology. We had
that... Not another word.
Well, if you let me get the dictionary, I'll...
I'm Marine on the dictionary. Fire on the dictionary. I have another thought here. Tell me how this melody goes.
I don't know how it goes.
Let us not be sulky, sullen, surly, and sad.
But I don't know how it goes.
The Victor Arguck Fontenelle.
Hmm.
You know what B.B. Bohr's aspirations are for this composition? He hopes eventually to have it accepted for publication in the official songbook of the Sacred Stars of the Milky Way.
Hmm.
Wouldn't that be wonderful?
Uh-huh.
It'll be a feather in his cap and a feather in my cap.
Yeah.
The Victor Arguck Fontenelle.
Mm.
Don't you imagine Mom will be impressed when she hears all this?
Uh-huh.
Very likely she'd be tired and a little out of sorts from her afternoon's intensive shopping. But when I explain about B.B. Bohr composing the melody about me and his hopes for having it published in the official songbook of the Lodge, I bet you...
I believe I'll go outdoors.
Wait a minute. What'd you say?
I believe I'll go outdoors by the garbage box and see if Raymond Thurles or Bluetooth Johnson or anything.
No, stick around. I need your help.
Hmm.
Tell me how this music goes.
Well, I don't know how it goes.
You studied it in school, didn't you?
No.
What's this you're giving me? You're standing there asserting you weren't taught music at school?
Oh, we were taught it.
Well, tell me how this goes, then.
We were taught it, all right, but it was never the kind of a subject where we had to pay much attention. Never was any subject like English or arithmetic or
physiology. Is this first note here do?
Well, I haven't the slightest idea.
I bet this first note here is do.
Hmm.
Is this second one fi?
I tell you, I don't know.
Looks like fi.
Hmm?
How about the third one? Fa?
Oh, heck, Gov.
These first three notes are do, fi, and fa. I'm convinced of it.
Hmm?
The Victor Arguck Fontenelle.
It's a soft place on a baby's head.
What?
Nothing.
You're being stubborn, sullen boy, Russell.
Hmm?
I shall make a report to Mama when she gets home.
Hmm?
The Victor Arguck Fontenelle.
Hmm?
Do, fi, fa. Do, fi, fa, re, mi, do. Do, fa, li, mi, re, ti. Do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti, do.
Which concludes another brief interlude at the small house halfway up in the next block.